Oliver, how are you today?
I'm cold. I'm standing out here in 5 inches of snow in western Virginia on the west slopes of the Blue Ridge. You know, up there in Michigan, you guys have these things called snowplows. Well, we've got spring, see? We don't have those things down here. And what you all sent us right off the lake up there was quite a contribution. It looks like we're going to have a white Christmas.
Well, why don't you go inside?
Well, because I wanted to talk to you guys, and I wanted to feel like there's right now there's a young American soldier, a Marine, or a SEAL on top of a mountain in the Hindu Kush at about 9,800 feet. It's 15 degrees below zero, and he is on the outpost of freedom in Afghanistan. So I wanted to get just a touch of it because that's the guys that we've got in these documentaries.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. For the first time, Fox News is making available the entire Chronicle of Courage, all the episodes of the award-winning War Stories documentary series from the start of World War II to the present day. Talk about what it's been like for you to work on War Stories.
It's been a breathless experience. And I have to say this, not just because you and I are working for Fox News, but because I'm privileged to keep company with heroes every deployment. That's all I do is soldiers, sailors, airmen, guardsmen, Marines. It's my only beat. And what a privilege it is to keep company with these remarkable Americans.
Did you think it would be as successful as it is?
It has become a great success in Afghanistan as it was in Iraq. It's taken longer than anybody wanted, but there's no doubt that the greatest thing that was done out there was to put General David Petraeus in charge. His deputy, Lieutenant General Bill Caldwell, Army general in charge of all the recruiting, training, and fielding of the Afghan National Security Forces, literally turned it around in 6 months. When I was out there in the spring, it was not nearly as good as it is today.
You're listening to the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. We're talking with Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. First question to you, should the military be in Afghanistan and Iraq?
Yes, and we dare not pull them out because we desperately need friends in a part of the world where you've got one nuclear power in the case of Pakistan. You're about to have another nuclear weapons capability in a place called Iran, and we need friends in that part of the world to make sure that those weapons are never used.
Can these wars be won?
Yes, and they're being won. It just takes longer than anybody would ever like, certainly the soldiers that are fighting it. The remarkable thing about it is, Tony, you still got volunteers who come into the service knowing they're going to go to war and who volunteer to reenlist to stay with their battle buddies. I mean, this is an incredible experience for these young Americans because people get hurt and killed all the time. They know it's terribly dangerous. The ones I wrote about in that book called Special Operations, those guys are out there at the far edge of the battle and far, you know, literally miles from the nearest friendlies, and they conduct these kinds of operations every day. What you now see happening on the ground in Afghanistan is a reversal from where it was over a year ago. The downside of what we got out there is this deadline that keeps hanging over the heads that was reiterated yesterday when Mr. Obama delivered that report. And that deadline makes it even more difficult than it should be.
Can Afghanistan and Iraq survive without the U.S.'s support?
Yes, in the long term, but I will remind everybody, we still have American troops in Germany, in Italy, in Japan, powers that we fought in World War II, and they're out there to deter aggression. There's American troops on the ground in South Korea, for example, 34,000 of them. We had 38,000 Americans in the Persian Gulf and in the Indian Ocean, making sure that pirates don't succeed. We've got special operators operating in the vicinity of Yemen that direct those unmanned aerial vehicles, the Predators and Reapers. And you're going to have to continue to do that. Once you get stable forces on the ground, they still need American help. That's why we've got those troops around the rest of the world. It's all done for our benefit. I mean, let's not kid ourselves.
It's frustrating to watch our troops go to battle and the rules aren't the same.
Well, the rules are better today than they were 6 months ago. I mean, when General Petraeus came in, he took a very careful look at it, very quietly. You know, the rules of engagement were so tight under General McChrystal that they squeaked. I mean, I listened and reported on how bad things were, how tough things are for the troops. That's not the case anymore. He's got all 30,000 troops from the surge. The last of them came in September. I was out there and interviewed General Petraeus just a few weeks ago. And by the way, that documentary is coming up on this same opportunity for people to get it. And you can see how these special operators teamed now and partnered, as they call it, with Afghan security forces are doing things they could never do before. General Petraeus has made that possible.
We're talking with Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North on the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS. Can Barack Obama lead this military to victory in Afghanistan and Iraq?
Well, he could if he'd define victory. I mean, part of the problem is we have a commander-in-chief, again, for the first time in history, who's deployed troops and then set a deadline for their withdrawal. That's never happened before. Commander-in-chief who refuses to define who the enemy is, and a commander-in-chief who, as recently as yesterday, could not say the words victory or win. He talks about his goals, but we've never had that problem. I'm old enough to have been born when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president of the United States. He didn't have any trouble telling us who the enemy was. We didn't have that problem in Korea. We knew the problem was in Vietnam, the war I fought in. And now we've got a problem because the commander-in-chief won't say who the enemy is, radical Islamists. He'll define it as al-Qaeda. Well, if we're going to beat al-Qaeda, you're going to have to go to Yemen. You're going to have to go to Somalia. You may have to go to Sweden. They had an al-Qaeda-affiliated attack in Sweden yesterday. And so it's an ephemeral thing, but it's radical Islam, and you change that by showing that young Americans wearing flak jackets and helmets and flight suits become the protectors of Muslim women. I mean, if you look at that book, American Heroes and Special Operations, you watch these DVDs, you can see it right there with your eyes. The kind of stuff that our colleagues never or rarely report. That's why I tell people, this is reality television. What's on these DVDs are the eyewitness participants in war that have gone on from World War II all the way to the present. And the character and integrity and the qualities of the American fighting man and the women who are out there today is none different than it was during the Greatest Generation in which I was born.
Well, finally, Oliver, that's where the challenge seems to be in the differential between radical and mainstream. No one wants to talk about that or separate that, but there is a difference.
But there is you're absolutely right, there's a difference. And who's supposed to define the difference? The Muslim leaders, and they refuse to do so in most cases. Now, there's some that are coming around. But as long as you have, quote, moderate Muslims who refuse to say, here's the problem, and we're not part of that, and we reject that, until you have enough of that going on in that part of the world, and I've seen it happen all over the place. When Newsweek published the totally false story about a Quran being flushed down a toilet in Gitmo, that story was repeated all over the Islamic world. And it was from the Philippines to Indonesia to Jordan, to Egypt. There were people who rioted and killed one another, and some Americans in the process.
I've got about 10 seconds left. What you're saying is they got to take a stand.
You got it. You got it, brother, because our guys have taken a stand. That's what these DVDs are all about. You can get them at Amazon.com or FoxNews.com in time for Christmas.
Mr. North, thank you so much.
Bless you, brother. Merry Christmas.